So, the plan is tonight. Firstly, thanks for coming out on a Friday evening. Hope you enjoyed your pizza. Thanks to Claire for sorting out. Let's give Claire a round of applause for negotiating with Franco Manca for 27 pizzas. So, And shout out Dan and Liz. Dan and Liz were like, if we're going to do it on a Friday night, let's do some food. So it was their idea. So when they come back in, we can clap them. But the plan is tonight, when we talk about vision, there you go, it's Dan. You're getting an applause for suggesting food. So the plan is tonight is we're going to spend the first part of the evening just sharing some things that God's doing amongst the church. We're going to share some things that are going on in the church, from the kids' work to in Little Gems to in the community, in Ivan and Niket's Cafe. Just to encourage us that so much of what we feel excited for comes out of what God is already doing. Nick's going to share a bit of an update of some of the global stuff we're involved in, particularly his trip to Israel recently, and then there's an upcoming Zambia trip. Bob and Drew are going to share a bit of an update from our trustees, and we're going to hear about the youth and kids special offering that we did a few weeks ago. And at the end, we're going to just share, me, Nick and Bob, a bit of where we feel God's leading us as a church, and then have a chance to pray. And at the end of every section, we're going to have a chance just to pray for what we've shared. So hopefully tonight will be kind of inspiring, encouraging, and a chance really to pray together. So that's the plan. The kids have got a film going on, and Shamelia's looking after them. So bless Shamelia for doing that. I know me and Sarah really appreciate that. But I figured it'd be good to start by just praying for us, that God be with us, and then we can crack on with hearing what the Lord has been doing. Lord, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for just even the sun streaming in and how beautiful that is. And we thank you that you know every hair on our head, Lord. You caused the sun to rise this morning and you'll cause it to set in a few hours, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we hear some of the things you're doing in the life of the church, Lord, and think about the future, you would fill us with faith. And we pray that you'd be with us tonight. Help us to pray as well, Lord, as we get a chance to pray. Would you be with us? Amen. And we should also applaud Bob and Phil, who put up these acoustic panels. When I left after our elders meeting just at 10 o'clock this morning, and there wasn't one on the wall, so they have methodically worked around. So thank you guys. Hopefully, I know I felt it was a bit different, and hopefully it should help, particularly when there's more and more of us in the hall to be able to hear. So the first up, we're going to hear a bit about community life and what God's doing in the church. I'm looking for, where's Joe? Joe's there. Let's give Joe a round of applause. She's going to come and share some of what's been going on in the with some of the outreach she's been doing to the kids.
Luke said we've only got 2 minutes each. So I'm going to talk very briefly and very fast, just very quickly. So I just say how wonderful it is. I know quite a lot of the mums are here today, mums and dads, what a joy it is. Bit crazy, but what a joy it is working with these children. So we had about 5 when we started. I think we average about 17, 18 now on a Sunday morning, and there's more coming, which is very exciting. Loved having Elijah. Sienna. And that's just been really wonderful. We're praying for a bit of a breakthrough, for a deep work among the children. On Tuesday nights, I come to the prayer meeting and I have one thing in my heart. I want to pray for the children. And they patiently do this and pray for the kids and the youth on Tuesday nights. One child last week prayed this. Some of their prayers are becoming more spiritual. And one of the children prayed this. Thank you, Lord, that you have come to live in our hearts and that you make us so happy, which was just a wonderful thing to pray. That was an 8-year-old who became a Christian 2 years ago at Carity Wood. And it's been wonderful having some of the teenagers. So we have some of the teens like Ione and Daniel Restrepo and people come. And then we've had this kids' prayer meeting. I don't know if Nick's got... Where's Nick? He's gone. That's not the kids' prayer meeting. Okay, I'll show you that in a minute. But it's been quite... No, not yet. That's true. It's been very exciting, the children's prayer meeting, actually. We pray at 10:30, and there's more and more children coming. And we had about 12 there last week, which was really fantastic. In actual fact, I worked out we'd had more kids at the kids' prayer meeting than adults at the adult prayer meeting. So that was very exciting. And we got a great picture of them. So this is Real Street, which is the school just over there. Most people probably know where Real Street is. It's this great big old Victorian building over there. It's actually a Camden school, outstanding school, not a church school, and somehow we've had a door has opened for us to go in there with the cross teach guys. They've opened the door for us. And so Isabella's been coming a little bit, but I've been going every month. And we went this morning, and it has been absolutely amazing. So this morning we spoke to 360 children at the school, and we are openly preaching the gospel. And somehow I stand there and think, at the end of this, they're going to say, you can't come back next time. But they don't. They seem to think it's all right, because we're saying this is what Christians believe. This is what the Bible says. And this morning, I just want to quickly read this. We read out this verse, and it said, you will call his name Jesus. This morning was all about Jesus. The Old Testament points towards Jesus. What's the answer? Jesus. Who's ultimately going to be the king? Jesus. And all the kids all the time, it's Jesus, you know. And so this morning I read out this verse, because they'd written it out for me to read, Christian had. And it said, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. And then I had to ask the children, what was Jesus going to do? And all these kids put up their hands. And this little Muslim girl said, he's going to save the people from their sins. And I thought, this is wonderful. They are hearing this. I mean, these kids may never come into the church. We don't know. We're praying that many would. But many of these won't ever come in. But wow, they are hearing through these messages once a month. So well done to Cross Teach for what they're doing. Well done to this lovely young man, Christian, who organized it all. And he runs the scripts. He runs the whole thing and writes the scripts. But it's been really fantastic. I think that's the main thing I want to say. Can I just quickly show the picture of the kids' prayer meeting, because it's so sweet? Have we got it? Where's Nick? Oh, I can't believe that. Tragic. Okay, we'll show it another time. But it was. Oh, at the end. Okay, we'll show it at the end. Brilliant. There you go. Is that all right?
Yes. That's perfect. Thanks, Joe. Let's give Joe and all the work she's doing a round of applause. I love it. Let's give Philippa a round of applause. She's going to come and share about Little Gems and what's going on there.
Sorry, it's too many things to hold. I was just actually trying to remember how long we've been doing Little Gems. I think this is our fourth year, isn't it? It's our fourth year, is it? Fourth? Isn't that amazing? It's gone so quickly, hasn't it? It's incredible, really. So Little Gems is our, for those who don't know, our mums and toddler group that we run here on Thursday afternoons. We sort of clear everything away, put toys out. It's lovely having other church members that come, like Daisy, and I have this amazing team of volunteers, which actually just wouldn't be anything without the volunteers, quite honestly. It would just be a room with toys. But actually, what does Little Gems achieve? Sometimes you don't always know. Quite often you don't really know. But we have, over the 4 years, we have had an alpha course, which has been really exciting. And actually a couple of the mums, like Priscilla, came on that alpha course, and Priscilla still comes along to the church. So it was really exciting. Itaisa, who's moved out of the area, but she's still praying and still going on in her faith, which is really exciting in different ways. So that's been really amazing, actually, hasn't it? Really encouraging for us. And actually, you know, I think for some people, Little Gems is church, if that makes sense, because it's their community. They come, they share. Like one mum who can't always make it to church on Sundays, but she comes to Little Gems and we can pray with her and get alongside her. That's really special. For some, it's friendship, actually. I think more and more I realize how lonely people are, really. I think we take it for granted, church community, and as we get to know each other and the community and the richness we have. But there's a lot of very lonely mums out there who, apart from maybe at the school gates for a few minutes, don't actually properly have a conversation with another adult during the day, really. Yes, I feel so grateful for that. Actually, I feel grateful for the volunteers who get alongside these mums, who chat with them, get to know them, offer to pray with them, share their own faith with them in a very light and gentle way. So that's been really exciting. I think it's love and friendship. I mean, sometimes we've had people in tears, haven't we? And just being really honest and real with us. So that's been really exciting. And as I say, quite often we have no idea what we're achieving, if we're achieving anything, because you don't always know. But I think, you know, Jesus calls us to be faithful, doesn't he? And to love, and to get alongside, and to minister to, and to reach out to, as it sort of really talks to in Matthew 25. And I think just part of some of the things we're thinking about, like, what do we go from here? Do we possibly run a parenting course? Do we do different things? Like, we've often run off Little Gems. We've run clothes swaps, which have been really successful. It's really blessed many of the families in the area, and I think so grateful to so many of you who've come and cooked cakes and helped sort clothes and reach out. And it's really been part of building the community, hasn't it? And actually, that's been really exciting. So we're just thinking about that next step of what does that look like really as well. Is that okay?
And then Nick's going to come and share a bit about food bank and CAP and some of the Mercy Ministry stuff going on. Let's give Nick a round of applause. We've coordinated in green tonight as well.
Thank you. I like that. It's not like a vital part of eldership. We dress the same way. Mike, I appreciate your light khaki jacket over there. Yes, fantastic. When I first met Mike and we were talking about joining a relational mission, Mike told me that it wasn't about you. It wasn't about having the same style. It was about having the same values. But I'm kind of doubting that now. The trickle-down effect. Yeah, so very quickly as I can, some of the things are happening. Some people call these kind of mercy ministries, some of the things that we're involved in as a church. And it's great to have just a chance to air some of those. The Bible talked about Jesus being anointed to preach good news to the poor. And poverty has so many different expressions. It could be mental poverty, spiritual poverty, this is the greatest poverty, economic poverty. And people go through so many different things. And in my experience, as I started to work with Food Bank, every story is completely different. And I've met people who've had multinational companies that have collapsed and they've come to Food Bank needing food. And we just know the only secure thing in this world is Jesus. So some of the things that we're involved with, and you just kind of feel that God is involved in all these things in a beautiful way. Food Bank is, something coming up. Let me just do this little thing. How's that? Great, it worked. Food Bank. So, Sandra, do you want to just tell us a little bit about it and your experience of it? Give Sandra a warm welcome.
Thanks. I want to say that when I first started, I was quite scared, going into the food bank. It's so exciting. It really is. And what I love is, like, on my way there, praying, like, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. And, it's just great, because you don't know who's going to come through the door. Sometimes we have regulars. Especially the Muslim women, they're really up for praying. They've got on the, you know, the mask and whatever, but they want prayer, which is really, that's really precious. And, you know, I just have to say, for whoever will listen, I will share my testimony and I will just throw it into the conversation. And, it's exciting. And, if you're interested in possibly helping out, we would love to have you there. And I do want to say, a few years ago, I noticed there were these men with open hearts, and I knew I couldn't reach them. So that's when I asked Nick, because one of them, Abdul, he was the only one who came to the Carol concert. And I got Nick in touch with him, and then eventually Nick came, and there's men there, there's fruit there. So if you're a man, if you've got a bit of time, please come, you know, even for half an hour, between like 10:30 to 1 o'clock. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Sandra is the most amazing evangelist, and she is just able to have conversations with people that I wish that I could share the gospel like she does. I feel that God's given me the gift of being able to talk to pretty much anybody, and I don't mind that. But actually, to find a way of sharing the most important thing in her life has been amazing to watch. I'm really learning from Sandra. I'm so grateful for those days. She said, I was at Food Bank, Nick, and I met this man, and I said, there's somebody who'll have a cup of coffee with you. And after a couple of those, I thought I'd better go. And I got completely kind of captured by it. And it's changed my life, to be honest. The other thing that we do, just quickly, is Christians Against Poverty. I'll come back to the food bank thing in a second. But CAP, which Ruth has valiantly led for how many years was it? 9 years, yeah. And seeing people baptized, who Ruth has led to the Lord through that ministry, that mercy ministry, has been amazing. And I had the privilege this year of just getting alongside one of the guys and we just spent time together, had a cup of coffee, and it's in some ways it seems so easy that just to be somebody's friend and be ready to talk about Jesus, it's incredible. And I think because people are recognizing they've got a need, there's no pretense that everything's wonderful, and somehow that changes everything. So it's really easy, and we'd really like people to get involved. So Monica and Sandra are befrienders. So as Matthew Hickman, who we know from Carity Wood and the old days, is now looking after CAP, there are going to be plenty of opportunities. So if you've got time during the day, these things are something that anybody could do. So food bank, for example, you could come as to make a cup of tea. You could come to put the food out at the back. You could work in the warehouse. You could just start anywhere if you've got time. And I keep on meeting people saying, I don't know what to do and I want to serve somewhere. And I said, just come to food bank. There's something there for you. You don't have to be having conversations straight away. But actually, in time, you make a cup of tea, you take the cup of tea, you're sitting next to somebody. And then I've just found myself, there's opportunity for meeting them afterwards. So there's two people coming to the men's breakfast this time who are from food bank. And it's just been incredible to just be able to share the love of Jesus and become a friend. And then I want what you've got. And we've got the opportunity. It's incredible. The harvest is so great. And I feel in some ways it's so easy. So a friend of mine said a while ago that it used to be that evangelism was led by truth. In other words, you could stand up on a street corner and you could preach and people would listen to you. Nobody listened to you like that anymore. But these days, evangelism is led by love. And so as a church, these are, I think, where some of our greatest opportunities are. So if you are free, come along. Watching somebody come to food bank, be friends, somebody else led them to the Lord, come into the men's breakfast, joining a community group. It's just amazing to actually watch this happen. And Monica, I think, is going to say something about her little group in a moment. You can get involved. Just say local church connections. God is really doing something at the moment. I just feel that so much. And also he's connecting the churches. So during this year, I've just personally had opportunity to get alongside and to be a friend to and be befriended by the local Salvation Army. What have I got here? St. Martin's, the new vicar there, St. John's down Church Hill through, again, a mercy ministry opportunity. We got a coffee together and that was really nice. A new people we met a couple of weeks ago, Christ Apostolic Church, yearning to join the local leadership. And for many years, we've had a local leaders prayer meeting with Rev and St. Luke's and ourselves and Jules at Chalk Farm. And we've been really friends. And we prayed and loved each other through some very difficult circumstances. So that's really exciting. That's local church connections. Okay, who's next?
Ivan is going to come and share a few testimonies. Who's ever encouraged by Ivan's testimonies? Ivan was sharing with me on Sunday, a few weeks ago, and I was like, just share another one of your stories, Ivan. So I have no idea what you're going to share, but I'm already excited.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Luke, thank you. Yeah, it's been really amazing in the cafe. We've been 9 years there. And, you know, when it became 7, 8 years, we've been asking the Lord, I think it's time for us to move on. But he says, no, you're still there. And you may say, how do you hear? We pray and God shows us. At that moment, there will come more people. You will have more people to pray for. And those are the signs for us anyway. Last month, we had... it was a neighbor, one of us, our neighbors, that she worked with us in beginning of the, when we opened the coffee shop. And I did talk to her about the Lord. So we put a seat in her. Last month she came and she says, I had a problem, health problem, she says. One morning she woke up with a blood in her tongue and she rushed to hospital and they said, you are an epileptic and you have that problem. And I said, you know that I am Christian, I can pray for you. Yeah, yeah, she said, I start going to church as well. Oh, that's fantastic, I said. So I explained further. I said, look, please, I would advise you to read the book of Mark about this is a spirit. I understand that, she says. Even better, I said. But one of the main things I said, and she said, I've been also reading the book of, how do you call this, okay, remember the book? She says the Enoch. I said, look, Enoch is good information, but you must focus on the Gospels, on Jesus. That is the key thing. And the main thing is for you to receive the Lord so that you will be protected by him. And from then on, you will learn more. You follow Jesus. So I said, would you like to receive the Lord? Yes, she said, I am ready now. So she received the Lord last month. And I said, look, you live across the road. Come for prayers. Come for any question you come. If you want to come to our church, please do come. And, you know, anytime we are here. Thank you, she said. She was really, really moved, you know. As I said, it was a good time that he spent explaining about the Lord, explaining about the salvation and everything. And I gave that little book that you gave me. And I said, look, go and look John 3 and explains the Lord why we need to be born again. That was last month. A couple of weeks ago, there was another lady. Just I closed the cafe. And she said, look, I want a coffee, she says. I said, I can give you takeaway. She said, okay. So while I was giving the coffee, I had the opportunity to talk, where are you from? And she explained to me, I am from Iran. Oh, great opportunity to share there. And then we start talking about the difficulties they're going through. I said, but only Jesus is the way. And then she was like, oh, I gave the coffee, and I was around 4:05. For almost 1 hour, I gave all the gospel to her. She didn't give a sip of the coffee. I had to warm it up later on. She was so captivated. She says, I can't see that you are saying the truth. Something really captivates my heart, she says. I said, it's Jesus talking to you. In the Bible says that my sheep will hear my voice. So you are a child of God. That's what you are captivated by it, she said. I said, the way how you explain is amazing. She said, I never heard like that. I said, this is God through me talking to you. So again, the book. Here is your book. And I said, look, what you can do, go in the Bible, says, go to your room, close the door behind you, and ask, Lord, if it's true, show me. And I know, I said, he will show you. He knows how to communicate with each one of us. And you just open the heart for him to come in. Please, this is the way. Jesus is the way. We need him. So that was one, you know. And I think I have 2 more minutes. That is the best one. This is the miracle. In a year later, when we opened the coffee shop, one of our good friends of ours in the cafe, she received the Lord. And since then on, we've been, you know, very close. We always share with her the gospel. We mentor basically to her over these years. But now we see that God actually was helping and training her for the things that he was going to experience herself. Last year, she was not feeling very well, so she went to do a checkup, and they found out that the doctor says, you have cancer in the bladder. In the intestine. And she was shocked, because, you know, it's kind of very scary to go on to the doctor to find out those kind of things. And they make the scan, and they found an 8-centimeter tumor in the colon. And she was in big shock, and we also were in shock. She contacted us, and I said, look, we're going to pray here and stand on what the Lord says. In 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his wounds we are healed. And in 1 John 4:4 says, greater is the one who lives in me than the one who lives in us. With the power and authority that Jesus gave us, we are going to command that thing to dry and to die. But we want you to grasp. Don't only read it, take it in. Hold it, the word. And we invited her one Saturday. I said, come home. So we spent the whole afternoon. We had lunch and then we pray. We anointed her. We explained what the word says. Look, it's not us, it's God. This is what Jesus says. In the book of Numbers, the Lord says, God is not a man, he should lie. What he promised, he will do. And I've seen it before. We have seen it. You need to hold on. The devil will come and lie to you. There are a lot of doctors who are, you know, actually agents from the devil. We can talk among us, that is the truth. They will tell you lies. So we began to pray, we are not her, and we were talking and praying, you know, get over the phone, we were praying together. And in a lapse of the second test, when they were, I think it was 2-3 weeks, they make again the scan, and now that thing reduced to 4 centimeters. And they don't know how. The doctors are shocked. How? They compare the two scans. You see, it's the power of God. Then they arrange to make an operation to extract that thing. And was last month, 2 months ago, I think, they made the operation and they took that thing out. And they left for a bit and they said they're going to check whether she needs whether that thing is spread or not. But it has not. It was just contained. They took it out and she didn't need any treatment. No chemotherapy, no radiotherapy, anything. And now they just a few weeks ago they said she is cancer free. It's praise God. He is real. That's what we say. The word of God. He is standing there. So I would encourage you, all of us, to, you know, is my favorite verse is Joshua 1:8 and 9. He says, this book of the law should be in your mouth day and night. And you will be successful. So really that thing, when it comes to us, we own it, we grab it inside of us. It's not only in the surface, go deep in. And then when we read the stories of the Lord, the woman with the blood, she says, if I only touch him. Rahab, she heard about the Lord. And she said, I know your God. She risked her life. So now we know. So in the cafe, as I said, By God's grace, He has kept us there. We have not made any big profit, but He said, I will provide for your needs. And that's what has been happening. And we have been actually become part of the community. You know, people come and ask for prayers. You know, they look around, what is here? Oh, Ivan, could you pray for us? Yes, no problem, come sit here. And they go like nothing happened. So it's amazing how God, I don't know for how long they're gonna keep, He is gonna keep us there. As long as He says stay there, we will be there. So that was my encouragement to you all. 6 minutes.
I hope you're finding it encouraging hearing some of the stories, because I think sometimes we don't even know what's going on in the kids' work or Little Gems or food bank in the cafe, because Sundays can be so busy with so many people. But to hear these things is like, God's doing stuff that I didn't even realise was going on. I think it's so encouraging. Let's give Ruth is going to come and share a little bit about community groups. So let's give Ruth a round of applause.
Lovely. There's a great verse in Acts 2 verse 42 that says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And our community groups, I think, are where we kind of really see this put into action. Like, we love gathering together on a Sunday, but like being devoted to one another in smaller groups throughout the week, reading God's word, eating some good food, normally cake, breaking bread together, praying for one another. That's like what our community groups are about, and where we kind of really get to know one another. I know in our community group, we read the Bible a lot, we cry a lot, we laugh a lot. Like I said, we eat a lot of cake. We celebrate what's going on in each other's lives. We support each other through the ups and downs. And I think, yeah, it's, again, you can't really do that on a Sunday. We love Sundays, but actually being able to gather in those small groups is so important. And the word we had at the beginning from Mike just around our community groups was that they'd be like different planters in a kitchen garden, all living, all growing, all bearing fruit, but maybe looking quite different. And it's been great to kind of see that happening across the church over the last few years. We've currently got 7 community groups at Bassett Street. And I was doing a quick count this morning. We've got 70 adults who are in community groups, and 25 kids and youth who actually are part of the community groups as well, which is amazing. So that's quick maths, 95 people, which is probably a good amount of the church. And it's been so good just over the last few months, even seeing new people, new believers coming in and kind of getting straight away plugged into community, and seeing them like, okay, this is how we follow Jesus, this is how we do it, seeing from other believers, and having that mix of people who are different ages, different backgrounds, some very new to faith, some been following Jesus for years, all just looking at the Bible together. And yeah, it's just such a beautiful place where that really happens. So I'm going to invite Monica up to just share a bit about their community group. Just a bit of background. From the outset, Sandra and Monica were like, we want ours to be outward facing. We just want to gather, read the Bible with people who are Christians, but also non-Christians. People who know Jesus, people who don't. And like, it's just been amazing to see how that has unfolded over the last few years.
Thank you. Yes. So when we first started, there were 4 of us. So Sandra and I are leading this little group. And now we're a group of 7. Now, many of these people don't come to church or don't come very much. But I think one thing that I've enjoyed seeing in the last year or so is just the way that relationships develop amongst us. Now, that's not without challenges, but some examples. We had a lady who was pregnant and she was craving a certain food. And one of the others in the group volunteered to make that and take it round to her. And they happened to live quite close together, so that was convenient. Another of the ladies doesn't have a washing machine, so she has to take her stuff. She's got 2 children, has to take her stuff to the laundrette. It's a bit of a struggle. One of the others volunteered to help her, which is quite a big commitment. So those things really encourage me. Now, the things that I was expecting to see at the beginning, I haven't seen. The things that I pray for, I haven't seen those either. But God is working. God is working in his own way. And so I'm very thankful for what he's doing. So we have people sometimes who come in and stay for a little bit and then go away. But that's okay. We have a lady who's a Muslim, but she assures me she's moved from where she was before. So that's the beginning of an encouragement there. And we pray. We keep praying. So we just want to... I think one thing I'm learning is that there are things I can do, but there's an enormous amount of things I can't do. So I have to know, we have to know that our part is primarily prayer and God does the other stuff, and that's up to him how he does it. So praise God.
Thanks, Martha. So we'd love to see more community groups. I think the ones we've got are probably quite full now, so it'd be a good thing to just pray for is that we'd have more springing up that, again, look different from each other, but where people can just really honestly and vulnerably share like the ups and downs of life together and work out together what it means to follow Jesus. So, yeah.
Right. So we're going to spend a few moments praying. So round your tables, we're going to pray for 5 minutes, so you're not going to be able to pray for everything, but maybe just two or three people, just pray for one of the things that maybe someone shared. Maybe it's the kids' work and going into real school and that those Muslim children saying, Jesus is the only one where I can be saved. Maybe it's Little Gems, maybe it's the cafe, food bank, CAP, community groups, but just, you've got 5 minutes and then we're going to hear about what God's doing globally. So round up and pray. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, thank you for the lives that are being changed. Lord, we thank you that the different ways we've been able to connect into the community around us, Lord, and the community that's grown within us, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you that there is so much life, Lord, and this is just only a little bit of what you're doing in this church. Amen. Amen. So now Nick is going to come and share a little bit about, I know you didn't get short to pray. Don't worry, I did cut it a little bit shorter than 5 minutes. It was 3.5. If you were still praying, though, it means you're a long prayer. So Nick's going to share a little bit about some of the stuff we're involved in globally. Now, one of the beautiful things about us being part of Relational Mission is not only are we involved locally, but we're being able to get people involved in all kinds of things around the world. So Nick is going to come and share, because Nick has been particularly the one we've been able to send a little bit over the last 5 years. So let's give Nick a round of applause as he comes and quickly gets his presentation ready.
Now, have we got a picture? There we are. That is the missing one, Joe, yeah? Do you want to quickly explain?
Oh, just very quick. There's all the kids in this one, this couple, this one on the sofa upstairs, and then two on the next picture, and the latecomers, who they are, but they wanted to be in the picture. And they wanted to be in the prayer meeting picture, because we came just a bit late, and that's the fire and pain.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it, to have... Joe worked out there were more kids in the kids' prayer meeting than we had in the adults' prayer meeting. It's just a sign, really, that God is doing something wonderful. Honestly, it's such a privilege to be involved in some of these things that where God's allowing us as a church, because it really is as a church in other areas. It says that we should preach the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the uttermost ends of the earth. And that's where we're going. And we just go where God leads us. I think it's so exciting. Little Gems, you know, it was the first thing in a way that God led us into a little harvest field. And then we got involved in food bank. And it's as God has opened doors, you just go through the door and it's fruitful. And so a door opened a few years ago for us to go to Zambia. And that's grown now. And that's the team last year. Those are some of their leaders, and there's Bob and Vicky and Michelle in there, amazingly. And one thing we had an opportunity last year was to actually go into a village, they call it the bush, actually. And we collected wood, we cooked food, we got water from the well, we cooked the people in the village a meal, and we preached the gospel. And it was an amazing experience. And there is Michelle, always creative, blowing bubbles with the kids there. That's me and Michelle carrying water from the well. There's Vicky, praying with somebody. And Bob, unfortunately, wasn't very well that day, were you, Bob? So Bob made good use of his time. Actually, that's the end, having just an opportunity to share the gospel. And one person did come to know Jesus that day, which is the gentleman on the right with David Barham there, who's the guy who's opened the door for us to be part of it. And he sought out the church later, which is quite a big deal, going from the village to where the conference center was, and got baptized. So that was exciting. But really, we're there to just encourage people. And there are two of the main preachers, Bob's sister. People love his stories. And there's Michelle there sharing as well on the Sunday in one of the churches. And it's such a privilege. But really, we are there just to encourage what God is already doing. And I call them, when people say, what are you doing in Zambia? People at Food Bank ask me, where were you? Well, I was in Zambia. And so we have a sister church in Zambia, and we just go there to encourage the leaders. Next, they started planting a church in the university in Lusaka, which is the capital. One of the guys there was selling something, I don't know what it was, shoes or something, starts preaching in the street. Some of the students from the university come along, and before they know it, they've got a great student work going on in the university in Lusaka. So we're having a conference there next year, and that is the thing there. They love in some places having kind of posters with faces on, and my face appears there. Actually, my picture was so bad I sent them another one, because the first time this ever happened to me was in Nigeria, and I didn't realize how last minute it was that I was the list of many speakers on this big poster. And when I looked at the thing closely, I realized that I was in African dress, and somebody obviously wasn't able to go, so they cut his head off and put my head on there as well, which is suitably humbling. But this one says, in the government complex, Main Hall, Lusaka, and in Dominion Gospel Church, Kalalushi. So that's two different, one big city and one town where we are doing another conference this year. And I think it'll be amazing, because we've been able to take Frida and, where is he? Edward Berea there. There he is. So that was when I went to Kenya with Mike, who is sitting at the back. Thank you so much for inviting me to go with you to Kenya. I don't know how I end up going on these things, but it was such a privilege to spend a week in the back of a Land Rover, not a Land Rover quite, but of a posh Land Rover, just going to all sorts of places and seeing the incredible work that was done there, that they started in just a little home in a village, Edward and Frida, 40 years ago. They faithfully served the Lord, serving the poor, empowering the poor, preaching the gospel, seeing signs and wonders, and they now have over 500 churches. And they've lost count. And it's just the power of the gospel and the power of mercy and the power of love and people just being in the right place and saying yes to Jesus. So we learned loads. And there's a picture there of Mike and Edward on the top of what looks like a fertile valley. But behind it, you can see there's a desert, because they put a borehole down there. And the whole village has become fertile and completely transformed. And they've done this over and over again. So that it's words, it's works, it's wonders, and it's amazing to see it happen. And there's a little boy on the right who we came across that day, who was out of education. I told you about him before, some of you will have heard. By meeting Edward and Frida that day, by the end of the day, his education was paid for. He was out of what is effectively slave labor. And then I heard him share that with all his leaders a couple of days later, and he said, we mustn't let this happen. And Edward has the president of Kenya's number on his mobile, because of the church. The gospel has been so effective. It's affected the country, and they have great influence for good. And it was amazing to see that happening. And then this year, I got invited to go to Israel. Again, completely out of the blue. But it's something that had been in my heart for many years. And so when Steph said, would you like to come with me? And what's his name? Adam, sorry. And Adam, we had an amazing week together. That's actually us at the Sea of Galilee. But we had very little time for sightseeing because we were there to interview various pastors in different places. There we were. Some of you know Ubi and Yael, who were at Rev for a couple of years, who are now planting a church in Jerusalem. And it's a Messianic Jewish church that they're trying to plant. We went to Shabbat there. We met their people, and it's amazing to see what they are doing. And then completely opposite, we went to the barbed wire there. That's a refugee camp on the West Bank in Bethlehem. We met these beautiful people there. Here we are. Yeah, that guy there, that's the wall, with lots of graffiti on it, and the media man sitting next to him, and they were lovely people. But they had a completely different situation. The thing they had in common was everybody was carrying a different kind of pain, whatever brand of Christianity they were in, and they were all wanting to make disciples. And a couple of other guys there, so that is Ubi on the right there, and at the middle was a guy there who has a ministry which reaches the Arabs in countries. There's a prophecy in Isaiah about Israel and Assyria and Egypt, and so it's amazing to see that work go on. And then the guy on the left there, he is an Arab pastor in the Arab church in Jerusalem. His testimony was that he was beaten up by the IDF many years ago. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he was very traumatized. He never wanted to be doing what he was doing, but he felt the call of God. And so he went back through reading his Bible, he acknowledged that God had a place for Israel, a future for Israel, which many people find that very hard to accept, particularly in his community. And his church is thriving, he's just a faithful man. So many wonderful people there, and it was a privilege. But that kind of led to something else. The thing that touched my heart most was going to the Holocaust Museum, which is called Yad Vashem. That's a picture of one of the carriages that was full of Jews, of the 6 million that were slaughtered during the Second World War, during the Holocaust. That was one of the wagons which they've got, and they brought it there. And before then, Ubi sat us down and read to us a chapter from a book called Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. He described how the Christian anti-Semitism of people that we honor, people like Augustine, Jerome, various people, Luther, and people that we think these are good guys. And of course, in many ways they were, but actually, in their lives, they were quite very anti-Semitic in their views. And going into the Holocaust Museum in the first stage is all about how Hitler really, the Nazis took the Christian anti-Semitic teaching and turned the nation of Germany against the Jews with terrible, devastating things. And so the perception of Christians to the Jews in Israel and in Golders Green, where I live, is incredible. They just think that the Christians are against them and hate them, are responsible for awful things. And so I was really shocked by that in a spiritual sense. It kind of got me inside. So on the way back at the airport, I was talking to people who were queuing up, and a guy I was talking to works for Help the Aged in Birmingham, a Jewish guy, Orthodox Jew. He said, "What were you doing in Israel?" And I said, "Well, I was with some pastors, and we were talking to Christian leaders, finding about what their view of Israel is and the church." He said, "That's interesting." And I said, "And I went to Yad Vashem, and I realized what a terrible history the Christians have of anti-Semitism." And so we talked. And on the plane, I met another guy. "What were you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, this is what we were doing." And I was really sorry about it. 2 hours later, he's giving me his WhatsApp number. "Please talk to me when you get back to London." And since then, a door has opened up. So there's a guy here on the left-hand side. who is called Menachem Vogel, and he is the rabbi of the local Chabad synagogue in West Hampstead. And so I went to visit him, and I'd met him before at an Camden Interfaith thing, and I said to him, I've just been to Israel, and I just wanted to tell you what a wonderful time I had. And he said, I would love to hear about it. So I went round the synagogue a couple of weeks ago and just said, basically, I want to be your friend. And he was so pleased because it's so unexpected. And a guy, a Jewish guy over there, I said, how do I reach my Jewish neighbors when I go back to London? He said, I've only got one thing to give you. He said, just love them. And I think that's the key. And I came back. I know that Claire's got this in her heart. So I feel there's a grace there that God is going to do something amongst the Jewish people who are our neighbors. At least a third of the Jewish population of this country live in North London, and they're our neighbors. And so I'm really excited. And going back to the thing that love leads the way, you know, I just feel that God wants to put love in our hearts for different people, whether it's, the Muslims in Monica's group, whether it's the people at Food Bank, whether it's our friends and neighbors, that it's like it starts with love. And when God puts love in your heart, the gospel will follow. So I just think that's something that God is doing. And then a couple of weeks ago, we had the four ambulances around the corner from us torched. We had two people stabbed in Golders Green. And now I've got my friend who's the rabbi. I can say, we're really sorry about this. And that kind of repentant, caring, loving attitude, I think is going to open doors. Not just for that, but for other things as well. This is something, just as my experience. So I probably... talk for too long, Luke, but maybe we could just pray for God would put in our hearts people, whether that it's I don't even know who it is, or people whose hearts are already touched, like Ivan and his, you know, it's love, isn't it? Is the key. You love those people. They come, they share, you pray. So let's just pray for a bit more of this in the church, that love would open up a way for the gospel in different ways.
Amen. Amen. If you want to draw your prayers to a close, just to say, I'm saying this in the room and for the recording, because we're recording this. If you feel your heart stirring for another nation, if you feel, I don't know why I'm thinking about this random country, which I don't even know why, please come and share with Nick, Bob and I, because Mike is connected to people all around the world that you never know. That country that Mike, God have put on your heart, might actually be somewhere Mike's going, we need some people who need to go. So don't dismiss those kind of like, oh, what might be on my heart? So just to encourage you, part of the global thing, next time we do this, we don't just want Nick sharing. We want people who have been sent by God to different parts of the world to share stories and stuff like that. Yeah? Cool. Right, now, just stand up, spin around, just to keep your blood flowing, stuff like that. Vicky, where's those cakes? They've all gone. Joe, let's give us some sweets. All upstairs. Sammy is eating them all. All right, you can all sit down. That was it. It was literally just to stretch your leg. Now I'm going to hand over to... Vicky's going to find some sweets. Bob and Drew are going to give us a bit of an update from a trustee side of stuff, some nuts and bolts. Let's give them a round of applause. Come on, Drew.
For those of you that don't know, I am the treasurer of the... what is called the New Life Trust still, but the church in Bassett Street. And... I've got about an hour to go through the finances, is that right? Yeah? I've just done a quick overview of our financial situation as of the last financial year, which has just ended at the beginning of April. So I'm not going to spend long on it. And if anyone does have any questions, etc., do come and ask me. But the age-old bucket that came from Jan Wilson, yeah, is the easiest way to describe it. So I have, what is going into the bucket? The bucket is our, it's a bit like our white bucket at the front, our income for the church, so £204,000 in the year the last 12 months, basically. So considerable, and most of that comes from general giving. So that's the offerings on Sunday, that's people setting up standing orders, etc. We have £12,000 of restricted giving. So this is where the giving is given for a certain ring fence fund, such as kids and youth or missions funds, etc. A big chunk, £49,000 in that year, is from gift aid. So sort of showing how big a portion of our income relates to gift aid. So if you are eligible or want to know if you're eligible, come and speak to me or Paul Hickman about how to set that up, because it makes such a big difference to our resources. We have ticket income from our kids and youth camp, so New Day and Charity Word raises a bit of cash. And we have the asset at the back, which is the manse that we rent out, and some of the we use this building occasionally, other people do, so some rental income. So that's kind of how our money comes into the church. In terms of expenses for the year, it was £197,000, so there or thereabouts equal with our income. So we're kind of stable, right? We're a little tiny bit of surplus. But to give you an idea of what we're spending it on, our biggest outlay is staff. So we had 8 members of staff in the year. Nobody is full-time, but we've got lots of part-time arms and legs in that. So that's £94,000 for the year. The costs of the buildings, this is like our utilities, our gas safety certificate, and all the exciting stuff that we have to spend on, about £20,000. We invested quite heavily in the building in the last year, so this £30,000 includes stuff like taking the stage out here, decorating carpets, the shower room out the back, various other things, bits and bobs in the kitchen. We invested £22,000 in our kids and youth. So that is both the summer camps that we talked about, but also stuff for Sunday mornings for the kids, events that we run throughout the year, the parties, Christmas party, Easter party, the youth events we run, etc. Our outreach was about £13,000. So this is funding for some of the bigger sort of Christmas events we do, and things like Alpha courses, expenses for that kind of stuff, community groups, etc. And lastly, training is about £4,000. So this is both staff and non-staff going on different sorts of training courses, but things like ID, things like lead course, etc. And lastly, a whole load of other stuff that is in our kind of like having a website, having our licenses for playing music and YouTube channels, all that kind of stuff. It's about £12,000. So that's a like overview of the sorts of things we spend money on. And just to quickly cover off kind of our financial situation as to where we are, this is at the end of February. But so in our bank account, we have a healthy sum of £171,000. And we have a bit of gift aid owing from the last few months. But that's not just sat there for no purpose. The reason we have to keep a big chunk of money in is our kind of, it's called a reserves policy, but essentially we have to have enough in the bank to fund ourselves for the next 6 months. So roughly £87,000 is our kind of backup fund that we can pay our wages, pay our bills, etc. for 6 months in the future. So that's kind of always going to be there. We have a big chunk of money, £78,000, for the remainder of the building works on this place. So we've got some glazing to do on the front. We've got some really exciting stuff like repointing the brickwork at the back, and a few other jobs and things that are on a big long list that Bob and Claire are working their way through. So that's £78,000 of that. And then we have our restricted funds, which, as at the end of February, were quite small. So our youth fund, our training fund, our hardship fund, and our missions fund were all kind of on the small side, less than £1,000 in most of them. But the good news is that we had our youth and kids and youth fund giving Sunday last Sunday? The one before? And we have so far, and it's still rising because people are still giving, we've raised about £10,000 in that, which is amazing, right, in a short couple of weeks. So that fund will maintain the summer camps again for another year, which is an amazing blessing. So, yeah, that's great provision from God. The only thing I wanted to then say was, what's the takeaway from this? Is basically, we're continuing to invest in this building, and particularly the kids and youth, which I think we're standing on the shoulder of a whole history of years and years and years of this building investing in children and youth, so we are continuing that tradition. Financially, we are in a strong position, both with our kind of regular giving, but also importantly in this day and age, we have no debt, so we're in a good place. And lastly, gift aid makes such a material impact onto our income, so it's almost a quarter of the income into the church in the last financial year. So, come and speak to me if you don't do it, if you'd like to do it, if you don't know if you can do it, etc. I'm happy to chat about what that entails. That is it.
Hi there. I'm afraid I don't have any flash kind of images to show you, and I didn't get the memo about wearing green. So I know, I'm sorry. That might be helpful. very quickly, just to talk about the trustees and other nuts and boltsy things. First of all, a big shout out to Gavin, who resigned as a trustee. So long ago now that he's forgotten that he was ever a trustee. I think it was March last year, perhaps, or something. Yeah. So we haven't had a family meeting since then. So good opportunity to say thank you to Gavin for his many, many years of service on the trust. And Gavin was sort of leading on safeguarding for us as trustees. And Shamelia has joined the trustee group, who is upstairs. Shamelia! Is now taking on the kind of safeguarding mantle, which is great. So trustees are myself, Drew, Nick. Do you want to just stand? Stand! Onyeka, Monica. So we and Shamelia. Stand, Shamelia! Just imagine Shamelia standing here. So we are the trustees. Just to say, I think it's helpful to know what the... No, stay standing. No, you can sit down. You can sit down. Yeah, please sit down. So the elders, myself, Luke, Nick, we're responsible overall for the oversight of the church before God, and responsible for stewarding God's vision for the church. Trustees carry a different responsibility. Trustees are responsible to the Charity Commission and carry the legal obligation to manage all the sort of legalities of the trust, responsible for stewarding the assets of the church, the finances, the buildings, the resources, responsible for safeguarding employment, health and safety, fire safety, managing the finances, and supporting the elders in delivering the vision. So both are necessary in a sort of 20th century church. I don't think trustees appeared in the early church, in the modern church, we need elders to sort of steward the vision and stand responsible for God for the church overall. But trustees have also got an important role in that, in working with the elders. We also employ, Drew mentioned, 8 people, actually 9 people now. We've now employed Luke to serve us as an elder in the church. We pay Luke 1.5 days a week. We employ Claire now, new employee. Welcome to the team. as well as Nick and Joe, Dan Daly, Ruth. I was checking Ruth's job title. It's changed quite a lot, hasn't it, over the... It's been a very sort of fluid job title. Ruth thinks that her job title is now Connections and Community Coordinator. Rolls off the tongue. So if you're interested in what Ruth does, ask Ruth. Bola is looking after the housekeeping of the building. Philippa, Little Gems. Claire, admin and buildings. And Paul looks after finance, all working on a sort of part-time basis. But it's having the financial resources to support people to work for the church just means that we can do so much more. Thank you all for those that help in that way. Interestingly, I mean, these are people employed by the church, but one of the things we have to tell the Charity Commission every year is how many volunteers we have. And that's really hard. And the only way we can sort of formally say, here's a list of people that we know are volunteering for the church, is to list all the people who are on rotas. And last year there were 72, about 70 people on rotas for the church. And that's only the people on rotas, because there are other people serving the church who are not on a rota, who are just diligently serving the church. So we are grateful. I'm sure most of the people in this room are serving in one way or another. So thank you all so very, very much for all that you do. I think that's me. Is that right?
I'll just pray, because I think it's amazing that £10,000 for the Kids and Youth Fund. It's just extraordinary, right? Like this, we've talked about it plenty of times. This church has, for over 100 years now, been serving the kids and young people of this area. And the fact that through your generosity and the rest of the church that we can just make that possible is just extraordinary. So let me pray, and then we can share a bit more. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you for the financial provision we have as a church, Lord. Thank you for the generosity right across the church. And Lord, I pray that the pennies, Lord, and the pounds, Lord, that have gone towards the Kids and Youth Fund might just result in many children coming to know you. Lord, we thank you for the legacy this church has, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would continue to steward that well, Lord. I pray that you'd keep us in a strong financial provision, provide for our needs, let us steward the resources well. Thank you for the trustees and the way they serve us, Lord. Thank you for all the staff, Lord, who are just pushing doors and trying to make you famous here through just being released to work, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you continue to do an extraordinary work here at Bassett Street. Amen. Amen. So we're now just going to spend a few moments just sharing where, as elders, we kind of feel God's leading us as a church. And We haven't really historically talked about vision much. The word vision can mean a lot of different things. But essentially for us, it's kind of us just going, what does God want for us as a church? And where do we feel he's leading us? So when you think of vision, I'm not going to lay out now a 5-year plan. We're not going to do that. Because I think one of the things that has defined us on this journey as Bassett Street over the last 5 years is Paul had a picture, like a prophetic picture, that our journey would be like a dot to dot picture. And the beautiful thing about that is step by step by step, God has led us and opened up doors. And we've been really faithful in following that. And I think you can hear the stories tonight and go, look what God has been doing. And this is just what we have mustered up from the last 6 months. Like, it's crazy that 5 years ago was when this journey as Bassett Street started. And I know Kentish Town Evangelical Church have been meeting here for like 60 years. New Life Church have been meeting together for 40 years. Even Revelation Church have been going for like 18 years. So it's like this extraordinary thing of what God has been doing by bringing churches together. And we're 5 years, half a decade of us being Bassett Street. And I think one of the things that in any vision thing is Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. So when we talk about vision, we don't want to ever lose sight of that, that the heart of all of us, God has already given us the vision. Go and make disciples. Go and share the gospel. Go and preach. Go and see people saved in his name. Go out. So that's what, whenever we talk about vision, it all comes under that, following Jesus. And one of the things we pray all the time as elders, Jesus, this is your church. This is your church. And we passionately believe that everyone is part of this church. This isn't just me, Nick and Bob decide and then we do that. No. Jesus is leading this church. We want to steward it well, but we also want everyone here to find their place and to bring their gifts. And part of even hearing the story tonight is going, wow, look how God is using each and every one of us. And I think over the last year, one of the things we have always known since we joined as Bassett Street is we didn't fit in this building practically. Even when we got given this, when we were going to relaunch Bassett Street in 2021, me and Nick spent a lot of time talking about what we're going to do because we don't fit. But we felt a sense of faith at that moment to go, well, God has given us this building, so we want to populate it. We want to be in it and we want to worship here. We want to share the gospel. But first Sunday, 2 services already. And we've done 2 services pretty much ever since. But it means that we've never been able to meet as a whole body in the last 5 years. And that's been always something that as a church, for us as leaders, we really want to be able to do that. And growing and growing, we've been a sense of like, oh Lord, what does that look like? And so probably more than you would care to realize, we talk about what should we do with our Sunday services? How do we gather people together? I probably come up with an idea every other week of what we could do. But part of it is just going, us going, how do we do this? How do we grow? And then we've had London Calling over the last few years, whereas we've been gathering as churches to pray, Lord, would you move in London? Would you move in power? And we've been gathering here and across and just gathering with the other churches as part of Relational Mission, just seeking that God would move. And since this last summer, there's just been this sense of, oh, it feels like there's something changing. And then last year at London Calling, there was an event up in Tottenham where they just got some guys in who have a prophetic gift and just began to share what they felt God had put on their heart. And Nick's going to share in a moment. But some things that particularly stood out for us is they shared how they felt that there would be a season for us as a church that we would gather and celebrate. And that was in our heart because we just want to be together. We want to find a way to be together. And it really resonated with us. Which then, when you hear that, you kind of go, well, if this is what God is saying, how are we going to do something about it? So it's got us thinking. And we had an elders meeting a few weeks ago, and we were just chatting, and we go, well, there's kind of three options. We could either add more services, we could plant churches, or we could find a way to meet more together in a bigger venue. And I think as elders, we just began to pray and just chat to trusted people. We just felt, do you know what? We would love a season to be able to gather and celebrate everyone, draw everyone together, have a big party, do all of that. Really, all the different ages, the different demographics. You think even we don't have the youth and the kids really being able to be together, even since the start, because we had the two services. And we'd go, we would love that. And so we feel a real sense of faith that from September, we would love to meet as one body on Sunday mornings. This building isn't getting bigger, so we are actively searching for a venue to meet in from September. And we've got two options. Phil, I've got a picture, which we'd love you to pray about. So one is on the left, which is Haverstock School, which is an 8-minute walk. I timed it walking our dog. It's an 8-minute walk from this building, has plenty of space to meet maybe 250, gather. It's got space for kids, it's got a huge playground. And we feel quite excited about that. And then a few weeks ago, Nick and I, down on the bottom there, there's a church at the top of Kentish Town Road, which is called Christ Apostolic Church. It's a Nigerian church meet there at the moment. And I just sent a cold email saying, hey, would you be open to us maybe using your venue on Sunday? And they said, why don't you come and have a coffee? So me and Nick went out of coffee and met the team there. And this building on the right, you won't be able to see on these pictures really, but could probably fit about 400 people. And is not particularly used on a Sunday. It's got a very small congregation that meets there. And me and Nick just had an amazing time meeting the team there. And we feel really encouraged. So we want to share these with you, not because we've made a decision, but because we go, we need to pray. Because as I'm sure you can imagine, your mind starts to whir about what are the practicalities? How are we going to do this? That's okay, because we want to have faith of going, God, where are you leading us? And what's nice is neither are perfect options. But actually, they feel quite exciting for us to be able to gather together, even just to eat regularly together. I know New Life historically love to eat together, but we can't fit everyone in. So we just feel these are two options which we can pray about in a minute. And then one of the things we felt with the Gather and Celebrate season is actually this would not be a long-term thing. We felt a sense that actually this would be for a period of time, maybe a year or so, where we would gather, celebrate, encourage, so that we might multiply after that. Now, we don't know the details of that, but we kind of don't feel that what God wants us to do is to create a big church full of lots and lots of people, because we want to see all different communities all across London finding Jesus. So we don't know the details, and I guess that's where the dot-to-dot picture is so helpful. What we feel confident is the next dot is we want to find a way to gather and celebrate. And we're looking really intentionally at that. We'll worry about the next dot when we get there. But we wanted to share that with you. And Nick just wanted to share a little bit about kind of we received this prophetic word at London Calling, which we really want everyone to be able to weigh and to go, hey, this isn't just as elders, we protect everything. No, we want to move forward as a church. So maybe Nick can share that. And then if there's any questions, we can have some questions or we can just pray. But I'm sure people's minds and different ways of thinking are already worrying.
Do you have a copy of that, or copies of them? Do you want to hand them out, Luke? Like, if I can have one as well, then I know what I'm talking about. Just to say, when you get this, so first of all, just so to know who's here, how many people came to Tottenham that day? Put your hands up. So, yeah, most of the people, actually. I think since we've joined Relational Mission, we've ever since the beginning, you know, we were a house church in the charismatic movement. We've always believed in the gift of spirit and prophecy. But I think in being part of this bigger family of God, that where there are people who have more of a prophetic gift and coming into Relational Mission, not having kind of been born in it, it takes time for us to get to know people and trust them. The first time I met Mike up in, Norwich, wasn't it? Up in Norwich. I knew immediately that I could trust Mike. And to me, that was the most important thing in our journey of joining Relational Mission. Steph, we'd already known for years. But people like Mike Bollinger and Adrian Horner, we didn't know them from Adam. And so actually, we want to, when there's a prophetic word from one of the recognized prophetic people in Relational Mission, we want to weigh the prophecy. And actually, whenever anybody comes up with something prophetic in the church, you know, we're a church that wants to hear from God, and prophecy is part of the gifting of the Spirit for the church. And so, we know that prophecy is different to the Bible, isn't it? The Bible says it, that's it. But prophecy, you know, there's a purpose for it, to encourage, to stir, to help in our direction. When Mike and Adrian shared these things, they'd been praying for the different churches that were there, and these are things that they felt for Bassett Street. And as I read this over the ensuing weeks, one thing I noticed was that pretty much everything in here God had already started to do. And I think you'll recognize that. For example, there was a little bit about a Joshua at the end, that God was raising up Joshua, and Adrian said, it's pretty obvious to me who that is, and that's Luke. And over, you know, the weeks and months, we realized that that leadership is dynamic, and Luke has felt to do less of his the work that he was doing, give more of his time to the church, and I felt more of a calling to some of these incredible opportunities that I've been given, particularly in the community, and felt I could not do that unless someone like Luke stepped up and used the gifts that God has given him, particularly things like people management, team management, all sorts of gifts. I know you recognize in Luke, but it's part of the kind of dynamic changing. Well, Adrian and Mike had no idea about those conversations and what actually we'd already decided and we're trying to do and to change our roles as we grow. Things about we are a family of families. And we are just such a family church, aren't we? When we went into the pandemic, a lot of churches came out the pandemic, didn't even come out the pandemic. They fell apart. But we were such a family church, and the relationships were so strong that when we came out the pandemic, it's like nothing had ever happened, because we'd all stayed related to one another. And that family thing for us, and already God is starting the baptisms. We had families, didn't we, coming in and bringing their children with them, and it's families that are joining the church. And so there are things in here that they couldn't possibly have known, which we already recognize as happening. So we are excited by that. And one of the things in here on the second page in the middle, it says, I see it's a season to gather and celebrate. And that's something that resonated with us, that as all together, it's incredible to me that in 5 years we have never one time celebrated all together as a church. That's incredible. What kind of church is that? But it's just the way we've had to do it. So we feel that the as elders, and we prayed about it, we've asked others to pray about it, we're praying about it in the prayer meetings, that this is something that God wants us to do. But you will get faith, I think, as you read this. We've read it, we've weighed it, and we think there's lots in here to really encourage us as churches. So we'd encourage you to kind of read that prayerfully as well. So, is that all right, Lou? Can I just pray? Yeah? Let's stand, shall we? Mike, do you want to just come and pray for us as well? I didn't know Mike was going to be here today. He sneaked in at the back. Father, we just thank you that we are here as your church before you. This little corner of your incredible earth, Lord, that is Bassett Street, Lord. Thank you, Lord, there's nothing special about us other than you have bought us with your own blood, Lord, and you've chosen us and you've called us for a very specific mission in your world, Lord. And we want to offer ourselves afresh today, Lord, and just say, God, would you have your way? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will visit every area that we have talked about this evening, Lord, and more, the ones that we haven't mentioned. Father, as we've listened to people, we've just realized that you have blessed your work in different ways. Sometimes with things that we had no idea that were even going on, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we only see a small part of that work, Lord. But we want your blessing. We want your direction. We say the Lord is our shepherd. Therefore, we lack nothing. And we entrust ourselves into your hands. Father, we pray for that Paul prayed that they would be one heart, one mind, one soul working together for the faith of the gospel. Lord, keep us united. Help us. Lead us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, we thank you, Father, for the warm south breeze of your blessing that is blowing in the sails of this church. Lord, you are blowing increase, you're blowing blessing, you're blowing favour. It's a precious thing, Lord, that you're doing. And we do pray, Lord, that as your word says, your people would be willing in the day of your power. And we do pray, Lord, for the church, that there would be a turning of ourselves, almost like sails, just to catch the wind blowing into our sails individually, whatever part we all have to play. Lord, I think many of us are going to look back in years and think it was a privilege to have been alive at such a time as this. I really do believe, Lord, you're going to do some things we hardly dare imagine. Lord, you're able to do more than all we ask or imagine according to your power within us. So, Lord, I really want to pray for this church, this very special group of people. I pray, Father, that you would blow by your Spirit in this next phase, and you'd blow us into the right building for the right season. Lord, there'd almost be a propulsion that comes by the Spirit to which we just willingly yield, thinking, yeah, God is in this, God is in this. And we pray for the blowing of the wind of God once there is a new building to meet in, just as in the day of Pentecost when the wind blew in a building in an upper room. We pray, Lord, for the blowing of your wind across wherever this church gathers, Lord, whether it's in homes or bigger venues or whatever it is for a season. We pray, Lord, as in other times in Scripture we read, you met with people in different places, in different locations for different seasons. Lord, blow by your Spirit, we pray, across this church. We pray you blow many people into the church to come to know Jesus. We pray, Lord, that this next season would be marked by the blowing of the wind of the Spirit, that we'd almost be able to watch things happen and think that was not human. That did not come from man. That came from heaven. Lord, would you hear us? Lord, we want to really mark this evening. Say it's a significant evening, Lord, when the church is changing gear It's moving into another phase, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that these years have been years of getting ready for even yet greater things, Lord. This is just warming up, really, for what's ahead. And I pray that you would open doors that no man can shut. Lord, if you've got on your heart somewhere for this church to meet that you've identified and selected and ring-fenced for this church, Lord, would you open a door that no one can shut, so that there is just a certainty and a sense of God at work in providing and supplying and providentially leading. Lord, we're so excited about what you're going to do. Lord, it really is such a great opportunity to see this next phase open up. So bless us, Lord. Have your hand on us, Lord. We pray that we'd have some great stories. Thank you for what we've heard tonight. And I pray that it'll just be the beginning, Lord, what we've heard tonight. It's just the very beginning of what's going to happen in coming days, Lord. We ask that for the name and for the glory and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm aware of the time. It's fun hearing all the stories, but I also want to honour Shamelia, who has looked after the thunderous children upstairs. Just to say, though, obviously, particularly with the vision element and where we feel God's leading us, do not be shy about coming and asking questions. Do not be shy with coming forward with thoughts. Lots of the answers will be, we're not sure, we're just praying. We feel a sense of faith and we want to follow that. But if you do, even as you're reading the prophetic word, you go, oh, that really resonated with me. It reminded me of that. Come and share it, because I think we so much want this to be us moving together, us on the journey together and God being with us. So bless you. Thank you. If a few people have got a bit of time just to tidy up the chairs and get them ready for Sunday morning, that'd be really helpful. If not, please grab some pizza and run home to get some good rest. God bless you.